The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's plenty of stuff for me to throw at the front and the end of these things. It's nuts.
You don't throw me anywhere. If you throw me anywhere, you're throwing me down on the ground, boy.
For the Shire!
For the Shire!
I've watched Lord of the Rings 10,000 times.
Hello, friends. Welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lane.
And tonight we're sniffing the night breeze as we discuss, do you watch or read Lord of the Rings when you travel?
Traveling with Tolkien, if you will. Brought to you by Eddie Ellington on Instagram. We want to thank you guys so much for sending us these incredible topics to discuss on the night breeze. Eddie, thank you so much. Before we get into that, Ez, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. I didn't realize this was as big of a topic as it is. If that makes sense. Like, we got this question, and I think you were going to bring up the poll later, but, I mean, I had an answer right away. I just wanted to say that as we get into this topic, I did not realize how many people were passionate about this one. So, yeah, as we get there later on, it'll be lots to dive into. But I'm doing good, man. I'm doing great. I'm stiff in the night breeze. I think today I am, what?
You said I'm sniffing the night breeze. I heard stiffen the night breeze.
Well, hey.
And I don't know if that was on your end or my end or what end that was on, but
if
definitely...
If you can call this coffee I just drank a stiff one, I mean, it wasn't. There was no there was no alcohol to be had.
No Kahlua or anything?
Nothing.
No Baileys?
No. But, I mean, have I had like five of these today? And did Lottie say sort of like, hey...
Well, that's where the sweat's coming from, Ez.
Man, dude, it's like...
You got
like
the caffeine sweats, bro.
Caffeine... Did you know there's a such thing as keto sweats? Did you know this? Hold on. Sorry to...
I remember the keto sweats well, yeah.
I mean, I
remember the first time the keto sweats kicked in. I think you were eating a block of cheese.
Well, hold on a second.
You were like, dude, I don't know what's happening.
I think I had keto sweats before I was on keto, you know what I'm saying? That was. They're all set up that equipment. Oh, my gosh. It was sizzling, as you said. It was sizzling on the Zoom. I just... My gosh, those were the days.
Oh, man.
Anyway,
yes, it was.
Was I going with that? Had too much coffee, buzzing a little bit as I'm sniffing the stiff night breeze. Feeling good.
It's ripe. It's ripe and it's rife and it's just, it's ready for the taking.
I mean, first of all, it makes sense as to why you almost vomited on the last episode. Sorry to just trigger everybody, but like, that actually happened full on last episode. So I'm not cutting that out. We don't do edits on this show, man.
No edits. I think that's authentic. You gotta leave the vomit in. Okay, so as always, before we jump into the topic, what's on your mind? Has there been something that's been permeating that cortexal membrane of yours? What are you thinking about?
Well, great question. Lots of different things. Like I kind of hinted at in the last episode, you know, this idea that my wife has been, like, Lottie's just been throwing all these different things, all these different, like, books and sayings and different things, and she kind of, she heard one the other day, and it was, like, about the Bliss Station, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, come on now. Hold on a second here.
Okay.
This is, you know, when they talk about the salty and sweet, kind of that bliss point.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
You know the bliss point? And it's just sort of like, because she loves to pair a little bit of chocolate with some coffee, so something sweet and this savory kind of, you know, feel. And
they used to call you Bliss Point in high school, if I recall. I think you were Ezra Bliss Point Kirk, weren't you?
Yeah, that was my old nickname back in the day. And so, you know, One of many nicknames.
But, the real McCoy boy.
The real McCoy boy. Old Blitzpoint himself. There he is, man. Oh, gosh. Got that name at homecoming. Holy smokes. I can't sometimes. You know, and I full on, I want people to know, when we record these episodes, I make these calls like split second. Do I go down the dark road? You know, yeah. do I take it in a which direction that I shouldn't? Because I know, as Yoda says, it will forever dominate my destiny, and I have to turn ship because I know I won't edit this out. I know that I'm not doing it. Anyway, sorry. Anyway, the Bliss Station actually is more of, and actually, now that you've brought that up, I've actually now rewired. Some people are gonna be like, hold on, there's a whole station where this bliss happens. Like, what's going? No, that. That's like, daggone it! It's like ruined my whole moment. The idea is that it's a place or a time. Could even be a time. Wow, it's just but like where you get into the creative juices. And actually, I thought about you because it was it's from a book that she's reading. Let me see if I have the name of it here. It is called "Steal Like an Artist." Don't know. Mm. She's just been kind of getting into those. Into those vibes. She's been watching a lot of Bob Ross, actually, which is
one of my favorites,
cool.
Man.
Yeah, I told you about that. And she's just getting the creative juices kind of flowing again. And I'm, you know, we're creators. We enjoy just we put the podcast out. We do different types of things. You know, you also paint and draw and do lots of different stuff. Writing a book and stories. And you've been writing the show, right? Season one, and then you're halfway through season two of Concerning Hobbits. And it's like, how do you get in that mindset? How do you find like, because for you I feel like it's just been on, you've just had an on switch and you've just been going, but sometimes you get into ruts, right? Or you if the going's tough or maybe life is busy, having a sacred place or a time or wherever, whether it's just a table that you can come to and you dedicate time in a moment for those things to happen. It was just sort of talking about the importance of that. And so we've been talking about that here just a little bit. And like for I mean, honestly, this is kind of take this however you want.
Come on, come on.
But like earlier tonight, I said, hey, sweetie, you know, I'm going to my Bliss Station with Lane. And she was like, okay, all right. Like, I mean, I used her terminology and I came over here and I sat down on my desk and I got everything up. I got my two towers book here. You can see the two towers right there. One's me, one's you.
Oh, it's beautiful. All right. Yeah, the two.
Oh my god.
And I'm just ready to go, man. I'm like, I'm fired up. So it's just, you know, it was one of those things where I said, okay, that's kind of what I'm doing. You know, we get away. Like, you're sitting at your dining room table. I'm sitting over here at the old workbench, it just find your Bliss Station and go there and seek ye a blissful creative experience. All right,
this is definitely, I would agree with you. I mean, 100%, this is absolutely a bliss point or station for me as well. And it's probably been the most, like, in terms of creative juices, because it is. I mean, we do like, we create conversations, I guess, like, we're not you know, the content we're talking about, it's not, obviously, we're like everything, we're picking topics and discussing them, but that is part of our creativity takes,
right?
And I think it's probably over the past 5.5, almost 6 years now, it's been my most consistent like creative outlet. And for sure. And it's, even though like we haven't always been able to do it as much as we want to, like every time we devote to it, it's always fruitful. Jeez, man.
I
wish Freud had never led us astray.
Amen.
But it's so interesting. So like, I have a quick question for you, because this is probably something I'm guessing that this is something Lottie is like searching for.
Yeah.
Are you able to, like, for me, I've always felt like my best creativity comes when the muse finds me, not when I force the muse. So like when I feel inspired, it's almost, that's part of why I go kind of nuts when I feel that way, because I'm petrified of, as quickly as it turns on, sometimes I feel like it can just be lost. And so usually when I feel that inspiration, when I feel that muse, I tend to like stay up late at night.
Yeah.
Or my breaks at school, I'm spent, you know, doing that. Spare moments that I have and I can dedicate to it, I'm in it.
Yeah.
And even not like when I'm doing other things, like even at school or at home, when there are down moments, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to, like with the show, I'm constantly thinking about, okay, where's this, when next time I do get to write, what am I focusing on? Can I develop some stuff in my head right now so that I can jot it down in a note or a text to Sarah or even to Ez?
Yeah.
And then have the bare bones of what I want to elaborate on later. So like for me, I have not been able to, maybe it's because I haven't dedicated enough energy to it, but I have not been able to find a way to break through a block. And I think there are two schools. Like I think some people believe there is a way to do it.
Yeah.
That you can break through, but it takes consistency. And I think other people think like, I mean, you're kind of at the mercy of inspiration.
Well,
so what's it been for you? Like, what do you think? But like this, like I think about podcasting, there have definitely been times where we've been more like looking forward to certain aspects and maybe not looking as forward to certain aspects, but like continuing to do it has always proved like good for us. So maybe that's
because they're different things, you know, whether you're doing art or you're writing a book or a story or you're podcasting or doing some sort of, content creation or whatever it might be, working on yourself even. I mean, you know, whatever that is. For me, like a lot of times, like you said something that was interesting, which is like if you, as you're doing the work or you're getting in that mindset, sometimes if you're consistently doing it, there's moments where you're like, all right, you're almost not forcing it, but you're just getting in the habit of doing it. It may not be most of the time that the greatest things are like being produced or are coming out.
Yeah.
But when, as you say, the muse finds you or whatever, all of a sudden, there are these, as you're doing those things, if you're open to it, the ideas that I actually get even for some of the shorts that I do on the YouTube channel come from like just the podcast. So when I sit down to say, okay, what's a really good hook, a really good question, a really good intriguing thought, you come up with a few, but most of the most interesting ones, the ones that are the most potent, come from just like the podcast. I'm sitting there with Lottie. I'm like, write that bad boy down. That was a great, like, you know, and it just came out. Like, it just sort of like, okay, there it is. And so, like, they find those moments find you, or those inspirations find you. That's true. But that I try to, you know, keep grinding at, because I enjoy digging and mining and looking around and trying to find something to pull out. You know what I mean? So.
So maybe like when you are more dedicated to like trying to push through writer's blocks or creativity blocks, maybe or the flip side, maybe when you just rely on the muse to find you, maybe you're missing more chances for the muse to find you. That might be it too.
Could be.
Like if you go and you dig and you mine, you're going to find something. But if you just sit and wait until you feel like mining, you're going to miss some stuff.
Yeah.
So that might be part of it too. That might be part of it. Like if just regular, I mean, that's true with anything. Like dedicating yourself to something and practicing something over and over again, you might not get better or feel good about it every time, but you're increasing the likelihood or the probability that will increase over time.
Yeah,
makes any, I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. But, it does, because I think about like when I used to play banjo. Here's a little known fact for folks on this podcast. Always used to pick away at the banjo. All right, I used to do a little five. That's right, a little five string banjo, and I just picked away and I just rolled on, baby, rolled on.
Did you have a backless or a backed banjo? Because my dad played banjo too.
I had both. Think I only still have my electric, have an electric banjo. All right.
Dang! Wow.
Y'all watch out. All right, I might pull that bad boy out at any moment. But that's actually put away in storage. I used to have a resonator on the back, though, and those are cool.
Oh,
like because the sound would just kind of carry. But like
it's a beautiful instrument.
They're beautiful. I would practice every day, and some days it just sucked. I was terrible. I didn't make any progress whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I would hear a song in the car. I would hear something out and about, or I'd hear a tune and be like, "I want to learn that." And I had such inspiration to go figure it out and to do it. Or I was rolling along and I just was rolling and I heard something that was like, oh, that sounded pretty good. And the next thing you know, you're like, write it down, keep track of it. But I don't know. But also, that was tough. The banjo's
part of
tough.
Like, and as you're saying that, I think part of my problem, this is a problem with me. It's definitely a crappy quality of mine. Like when I have those experiences where I'm like, oh, that sucked. That was not great. sometimes those can drive me away from continuing practice.
I think that's a lot of people.
Like, I'm almost more afraid of having a string of crappy things that might discourage me from continuing on than I am for just waiting for the muse and possibly missing out on other opportunity. Isn't that weird? It's almost like it's like a 50-50 shot. I almost feel like for me and my personality, they cancel each other out, sort of, in a way.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know.
Here's what I'm thinking to help you with that, and I think everybody listening would enjoy this. I think Lane and I should start a Lord of the Rings
podcast,
Middle Earth, parody band.
Oh my God! Yeah, Lord of the Strings.
We've
been talking about this
a long
forever.
Time. A long time, and I actually think we should.
Saruman.
Oh man, the songs, they just come.
Saruman, won't you come on?
Amen, son. Sing it. I mean, I could, dude. That was so. We had such a good time. Everybody's orking for the weekend, dude. Everybody's.
We have had a
orking.
Lot of like. had a lot of. Yeah, like parody ideas. We're such goofballs, dude. It's pretty awesome.
I'm just thinking, might help the creative juices, you know.
What you know what's kind of really funny is, like, again, a tangent, but like music, like how many, my buddy Rob Thorson, and I think Travis as well, and like I'm thinking Richard George, like some of the guys who, and girls, who listen to like death metal stuff, heavy metal, have always talked about the... bands that are like dedicated to like their Middle Earth names, like the Ringwraiths, the Nazgul, like there are bands out there that are like they personify like aspects of Middle Earth.
Do you remember when we went and saw the Tolkien biopic and that guy
Tom Bombadil
was there playing and he that was wild. What are the odds that we come across this guy who was an absolute just like he alluded to all those different things. He alluded to all those different bands and the lyrics, and he mentioned some of that stuff as well. And I was just like, who is this guy? He's on the podcast somewhere, I think, isn't he? Or like mentioned at least. I'm not sure if he's on it.
Did we talk to him? We should go back.
Didn't we invite? I can't even remember.
We recorded at Pivot. Remember?
Yeah,
it was the restaurant called Pivot.
How many episodes have gone by?
Oh man.
I bet you didn't. I bet you haven't thought about that moment in a long time.
I haven't. You know what's precious is I have his business card somewhere. I legit kept his business card somewhere so that we could contact him. Because remember, we were toying around with the idea at that point of having him out to LEP3.
Oh my!
To do live music.
Gosh.
Like bangers with Tom Bombadil or something. I don't know what we were, but that was an idea we had. Yeah.
Oh man, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, so all right,
Muse,
the Muse, the Bliss Station. So the Muse is what's on your mind, sort of. Kind of. I don't know if that tied into mine or not.
You have anything yours
specific.
Yours are setting a bar high of just being so deep.
I know. I actually struggled
with
that.
Deep.
I. That's just where I've been.
I love that recently
because that's not always going to be the case. I was gonna throw out I got Monday Night Football and still, by the way, Bengals are up, baby. Man,
love football. Mine is sport related, so perfect segue there. What has been on my mind is rugby, dude. We are in the throes of the Rugby World Cup in France every 4 years, in my opinion. And I would dare say maybe Tolkien's, although I don't know if he would approve of modern rugby. Although, Anyway, it's the greatest competition. I mean, it's better than the Olympics. It's better than... The only thing that comes close is another rugby competition, the Six Nations, which happens every spring.
Yeah.
It has been so amazing. So my favorite international squad of all time is Ireland. Partially Irish myself, but also they're just one of the first international clubs I kind of, when I was like meandering into the world of rugby cautiously, like I knew the All Blacks because I had been in New Zealand, and then the next club that international squad that I kind of watched and fell in love with was Ireland.
Yeah.
And this was like a decade ago, right? So, have been really excited for this World Cup because Ireland has been building like they never have before. I mean, they are now, they have defeated They went from defeating the All Blacks for the first time in 2016 in Chicago to they played them as recently as last fall. They had a three-series test, three-test series in New Zealand and beat New Zealand 2 out of 3 times. They won the test series in New Zealand, like unprecedented, had never been done before. So when you beat New Zealand like that, you're they automatically went to like number one in the world. And so the biggest opponent for them is the reigning World Cup champions, the South Africa Springboks, who have had like a big resurgence. They're incredible. They have this really interesting take with their bench in this World Cup. They have like, it's like all forwards. So they have like 7 forwards and like 1 back. And typically it's split evenly. It's like you might have 4 forwards and like, I don't know, 4 backs, 4 or 5 backs. But what that does is their forwards are, they're all just giant dudes. I mean, they're like 6'5", 6'6". They're like 250 pounds. They are just absolute monsters. So what they do is they kill you with their starters, and then halfway through the match, maybe, you know, 3/4 of the way through, they sub in and have a fresh pack.
Dang.
And they just absolutely demolish teams that way. And then on top of that, their back line, the creativity they use, the way they pass, the lines that they run, it's beautiful. The speed they have mixed with the strength, it's incredible. So anyway, all that being said, we started September 8th, I think was the first match, France and New Zealand. And the first couple matches for Ireland were against some of the tier two nations in their pool. So there's pool play, and then after pool play, you advance to like the semifinals, the quarter, semi, and then the finals. So it's done kind of like that. So you have to do well in your pool to advance. So this third match was this last weekend, and Ireland was taking on South Africa. Mm-hmm. They are in the pool of death because it's like Ireland, South Africa, Scotland are all in the same pool. And they're all, I mean, Scotland has also been surging. They're like a top 5 international team, maybe.
Yeah,
top
I was just looking them
7.
Up right here, man.
They're coming into form. Their player, their star Finn Russell has been. He had some for a while. He was off the squad because of some controversy with the head coach Gregor Townsend, but he's like come back in. He's better than ever. He's probably the best, most magical passer in all of world rugby. The passes and the kicking game that he can. Oh God. Anyway, as you can tell, it's like reignited this passion in rugby just because it's been. I don't play anymore, but and so kind of when I stopped playing, I stopped watching as much, and kind of gave it a little bit of a break. But slowly over the last couple of years, I've been like, I miss rugby. I need to watch it. There's no sport like it for me anyway. It's the best. Like there's every type of body. Body composition has a role. Every type of skill has a position. There's respect for your opponent. There's respect for your teammate. There's respect for the authority, the referees. There's the importance of the name on the front of the jersey as opposed to the back. Like it's how you imagine sport used to be. And so anyway, this last weekend was the match with Ireland and South Africa. Like there were people who were saying that this should be the final. This should be the championship match, right? Yeah. This should be the final one played. And it's just kind of the way the pools are laid out that it's not going to happen that way. But so my buddy Rob Thorson, who we've talked about a lot on this podcast, my friend who I actually originally met Rob as he was working for the vendor for where we got our rugby jerseys, like, you know, 7 years ago or whatever. And just through me pestering him and like asking a million technical questions, we became like friends. Like he's such an amazing friend. He's like a brother to me, you know, as well. So, we've been texting like crazy. We've been like, did you see the match? What do you think about this? How about this? You know, He's a graphic designer and just an artist overall. And his photography is beautiful, all these different things that he designs. So we've been talking about that. We've been talking about he's coaching rugby now at his the college he went to.
Nice.
And then we've been talking about the Rugby World Cup. And so he was like, dude, we got to watch a match together. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, let's. And he was supposed to go away this weekend, so we were going to have to wait until tonight to watch the match, and we were going to have to avoid scores, and that was going to be really hard. Yeah. So plans changed for him. He was able to be home, and so we didn't watch it on Saturday, but he texted me Saturday night. He's like, dude, we're not traveling now. Would you want to watch the match sooner? I said, yeah. Sunday morning, he goes, how about this morning? I'm like, let's go. Yep. And so, you know, and it's crazy. Watching rugby when the kids are awake is kind of nuts because the girls, like, this like, warrior spirit inside of them just kind of like awakens.
Yeah.
And Vigo loves watching ball now. He loves watching ball with us, which is so cool. So anyway, I was like, dude, if you don't mind the kids being nuts, mostly, you know, Lane Jr., Winnie, then let's do it. So I had my earbuds in. I was talking to him on the phone, and I could hear his daughter on the other end too. She was building a tent fort in front of the TV, all this, you know, it's just crazy stuff. But we got to watch this match together. It was, long story short, it was one of the, if you want to know why rugby is great, go, it's on Peacock. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. Go watch the most recent match between Ireland and South Africa. Another great one to watch would be Fiji and Wales from a couple weeks ago. But this match with Ireland and South Africa, obviously, worked out well as an Ireland fan supporter because they won.
Hey, spoilers.
But it was, spoiler alert for all you rugby fans out there. But it was an amazing example of two teams who have elite defenses.
Yeah.
Paired with elite offenses. And so, like, they would, whoever had possession would drive all the way to the goal line, but then there would just be this wall that would refuse to give in, right? And eventually there would be a penalty and the ball would be turned over and the pendulum would swing back the other way and the offense would drive and the defense would be suffocating, but eventually they would get through kicking or just line breaks or whatever. But then they'd come to the goal line, the try line, and again, just a brick wall. And it was like, you look at the fitness of these athletes and you're like, dude, what? How
insane,
are they able?
Dude.
Oh, Ez, like, it is the most, when you sit there and you think about what they're actually doing.
Spit an image of me, dude.
And, bro, it is. I mean, I think about you and me. At one of those past lives, we were on the pitch together at a high level.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, yeah, 100%.
It's probably 100%. The 70s or something, like right before we came into this form.
Right. We gave that up in this carnal.
That's how we died, actually, was on the pitch, like just breaking our bones. But splitting our heads open. But it was amazing. So it was a really cool to spend that time with Rob because we hadn't had a chance to like actually literally talk on the phone for a while. So that was an incredible. Felt like we were in the same room, and then just to be witness to such a, and he's also a huge Ireland fan. I should say that as well. That's his favorite international team. So we were cheering for the same team. Got to see them pull off an incredible win, a nail biter at the end. Like, they made some decisions. We were both like, dude, what are they? Why are they doing this? But and a big, because Ireland has never won a World Cup. It's the World Cup has been around since, I want to say, oh God, man, I'm going to mess this up. I want to say 87.
Okay.
I think 1987 was the first official like rugby World Cup. Before that, there wasn't any kind of, I don't think there was any global tournament like that. Not in the same way anyway. And they've never won. South Africa has like four, you know, New Zealand has three or four, something like that. So these top tier nations, they just keep passing it back and forth. And so if Ireland seemed like they could, I mean, the fact that they beat South Africa, I think they could beat anyone. So rugby's been on my mind, falling back in love with it. Does it make me want to play again? Sometimes, but then I realize that my knees are gravel. And so I go, nah, it's more fun to just kind of watch and enjoy. But So anyway,
well,
rugby's,
I mean,
been on the mind, dude. Ball.
Looks like Scotland and Ireland are coming up.
Yes. Well, I texted you about that last week. I was like, dude, would you want to watch that match? It's the final match of pool play.
Yeah.
So it could be a really important one. And I would love if you and I could get together and watch that together. I would avoid scores and wait until you were available to, even if we just called on the phone and watched it together, but in person would be even better. I would love that, bro. I would love
that. Yeah, that I'm looking at that in October. Let's talk about that, because that would be cool. I think that'd be neat, man. Yeah, they look Scotland. Yeah. I've been looking up some articles. They're looking good,
bro. They're awesome. We could even watch it outside, throw it up on the projector, have a fire out there.
Heck yeah, dude, that'd be sick.
If you want to get really autumnal,
Let's do it, dude. Okay. I mean, I watched you play a few times, and then I've seen it on TV here and there. My dad and I have tried to kind of like, he actually knows more about it than I do. I mean, he's just, I don't know, watching it, just being a sports guy, and not much. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, he's just sort of, you know, understanding some of the rules. It's cool. It's really, really, really cool. And to hear you kind of talk through the rules and how it's played, it's phenomenal. I love it. It's a cool game.
It is amazing.
It's something I wish.
It's one of those cool things too.
Wish we'd had more of that around when I was younger. I didn't really.
That was one of the things I want to talk about too. I don't know how it's not more popular here. I mean, I know because football is a big deal, but man, I tell you, after you get into rugby and watch rugby, watching the NFL, watching college football is really hard.
Yeah.
It feels so slow and boring. And like you see these dudes and women's rugby too. Holy crap. You see these rugby players destroy each other, but do it so technically that it definitely hurts, but they don't like people. I mean, there's a lot of injuries in the World Cup, but they've been playing a lot of lead up matches. And I think that's part of it. They're all fatigued. But when you play rugby, right, you're in a lot of pain, but you don't get injured.
Yeah.
Like it's done in a safe way. And so, but you look at them and you're like, man, they're so much tougher. They're so much tougher than the average football player. Like it's not even close.
I remember when Ohio State brought in like a rugby specialist to talk about tackling.
Yeah, for tackling.
Yeah. And it's a more sure way.
Safe tackling.
It's a more sure and safe way to tackle. And because missed tackles are such a big thing. People go in for the big blow, the big hit. They lower the shoulder. They lose they lose sight of the guy. They don't.
They lead with their head too. Which is,
I mean, you know.
Yep.
So anyway, cool. I would definitely be down to watch some Ireland, Scotland.
Yeah, it's on. It's a date. So rugby's been on my mind. Let's get into the mailbag. Right, we've got an awesome question from Eddie, and so I thought it'd be kind of fun to pair this with a poll, partially because of how Eddie phrased this. So Eddie wrote in, this may be out of left field, but when I travel, I always either watch or read The Lord of the Rings. I've seen others doing the same on the plane. Is this a thing? Could be a fun convo for the Hobbits from Amanda to discuss. And so for me, I read this and I'm like, oh, that's totally a thing, right?
Yep.
But it got me thinking, I'm like, if Eddie was thinking this, maybe I need to really test the waters and ask uppers, is this actually a thing? So we put out a poll in one of our Instagram stories, and those stay up for like, what, 24 hours, and then they kind of disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that window, though, we had, I mean, it was close to like 80 or 90 people vote. So a lot of participation. That's pretty high for our polls. So I broke it up into three subcategories for yes, of course, because I have to make things more complicated than they need
Power
to be.
Power three, baby.
But yes, there's three yes responses. So the first yes is read only, but I also included, I said, like, if you listen to audiobooks, vote here. Right.
Yeah.
And then the second one was yes, watch only. And I said, if you only listen to the soundtracks, vote here. And then the third yes was read and watch. So that could include anything, but as long as it's like an aspect of the book and an aspect of watching the movies. And then the no was just no, I leave my Lord of the Rings at home. So 87% of people who voted said, yes, I take Tolkien with me, whether I'm reading only, which was 32%. Watching only, which was 16%, or...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Doing both, which was the majority, 39% of that,
that
yes vote, and then only 13%, only 10 voters said, "Nah, I don't bring Lord of the Rings with me." Which I could totally understand that too. Maybe you know you're wanting to experience the adventure.
Okay. So for me, okay, you leave your maps and your books at home, and you're out on the road. Yeah,
exactly. You're not wanting to be distracted by anything else. You just want to take in the trip and kind of almost live Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So for me, I thought to myself, I'm like, you know what? This is something that I think maybe that whole aspect of traveling, of journeying, of going on an adventure, because these stories are all about that, right? That maybe that triggers something that in that downtime of traveling helps you enhance the experience of your trip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To think of it, because you could have a pretty standard trip somewhere, nothing special, yeah. Right? Quote unquote. But if you've got Lord of the Rings kind of in the back of your mind, you're reading it, you're watching it, it can really, like the simple things, right? We so often overlook that influence of Tolkien and Middle Earth and the characters might help you see a quote unquote ordinary trip in a new light for the adventure that it really is. I think that's part of the inspiration, part of it as well. But so what do you, when you travel, have you ever incorporated Lord of the Rings? Is it every time? Is it every once in a while? I want to hear from you.
Yeah. And also just before I dive into that, like something you said that's interesting is, and a lot of you used to talk about this, and I think kids, a lot of times when I first read The Hobbit, and I was always in car trips on the way down to Kentucky, and I was reading it in the back seat, and yeah, it made the trip more, I don't know, like exciting, because you got the spirit of being out on the road on an adventure, and maybe there was a dragon up in the Appalachian Mountains. I don't know if you guys down there in the South, let me know. I mean, maybe old dragon does get over there away from Skinwalker Ranch. Maybe old dragon is roaming around in the Appalachian Hills.
That's Bubba the Red Worm. He hangs out in that old holler, and he keeps it warm, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Bunch of gold up in them hollers over there.
You got to watch out for that gold dragon.
Oh, boy. Anyway, I mean, yeah, so going down there, we would I definitely read a lot of books, and that was, back in the day, that's what you did, right? You took the book with you. So I think depending on your age, maybe – that was something that was more easy to take. Now, I mean, nowadays, though, how old am I?
Can I ask a quick question?
How old am I? Yeah, thousands.
No, I know that. You're a little bit, you're a decade older than me. Yeah. When you drive, or I should say ride as a kid, could you read without getting car sick?
You know, I don't know. My sister said that I used to get sick. She's like, she was talking to Lottie the other day, and she said, like, oh, that I used to get sick on these trips every year. I'm like, well, it was flu season. You know, I don't know. Okay. I mean, I feel like I did get, but no, I never got, I don't get car sick. I don't get motion sick. So
good because like, so I do. So like if I'm in a car somewhere, this is where mine would be kind of split. If I'm in a car somewhere, I'm going to have to listen if I'm not driving. Obviously, if I'm driving, I shouldn't be reading either. But like if I'm riding in a car, I can't be reading stuff. I get even to this day, it was really bad when I was a kid, but even as an adult, not a good situation. I feel like absolutely nauseous. If I'm flying, no problem.
Really?
I could do anything flying, obviously. Well, I think it's probably most people's experience, just because a plane is, unless you're experiencing turbulence, it's just a pretty steady state. You're not weaving or driving, you know, like taking curves or turns or hills.
Dodging
or
anything like UAPs, that. So, you know, yeah.
Just out in them hollers looking out for Bubba the Red. I see the smoke coming, curling up there in the misty hills.
Yeah, take her down. Damn. Take her down.
Get it out of here. Cane tuck.
Man, I don't get motion sickness. I do feel bad. I went on a road trip one time, though, where we took a girl from the NAS, and she got I didn't know what motion sickness was until we were going on some Christian rock band concert. I think we were going down there to see old Skillet. I think old Skillet was whipping the bass around, and we were going to watch that. And I remember the whole way down, I took my Aunt Rita's van, had the old cargo van, and I'm driving, and I didn't know what motion sickness was. And so that was my first experience with it, and she had said something about it. I'm like, whatever. And
that's because you know why that is. You got hill blood. That's what it is. You can't be a descendant of the hills of Kentucky.
Well, we were actually going through the hills. We were actually going like straight southern Ohio.
So you probably felt more at home than driving on a straight and narrow in a highway. You're probably like, good Lord, now I can breathe around these ridges.
Oh, I had the windows. Thank goodness I had the windows down, because the first...
That helps with being car sick too, actually.
Well,
having some fresh air.
Yeah.
That helps me. Didn't help her.
No.
Were you kind of taking the curves? I mean, a conversion van too would be like being on a boat. Like
it was.
Being seasick.
It was
oh,
massive.
Man.
At one point, though, maybe part of it was I was very young, and also you're on the highway, and we derailed this conversation, but you're on the highway, and I'm boxed in. I'm boxed in all around me, and I'm finally down in North Carolina. We're almost to the concert, so we drove all the way from Ohio to North Carolina, and I forget which city we're going into, and off the back of this pickup truck is a box, and he brakes and then accelerates. And this box slides off on the highway, 4-lane highway. Here I am, I don't know, 21 years old, and I just look over at my friends. They're all in there, and I just sort of say, "I was like, I'm going for it. I can't go left. I can't go right. We're going 65 miles per hour.
Oh my God! You ran into the box.
I just nailed it. I thought it was a cardboard box. It sure was not. It had to have been something. And I mean, there's nowhere to move. And I could have caused a wreck by going left or right. So I just hit. I could have slammed on the brakes and been rear-ended, but I just hit this thing, and I flatten it with the cargo van. Just absolutely flatten it. And you hear kind of like this little like the van hits it and it just sort of goes. It just pops up like the axle just popped, and we kind of like we're bouncing a little bit. And I'm thinking, no problem. We keep going on this trip, and lo and behold, like the brakes are kind of, I'm like, something's up. Every time I brake, something's going on, man. You know, I'm like, I'm probably that box, man. You think it's that box I hit? And we're on our way back in West Virginia. You know how those hills are really big and stuff,
man.
Whatever, right?
They're brutal.
So we're going down this hill. All of a sudden, no problem. Going 60, 70 miles per hour. Out of nowhere, I hear a small little noise for about 5 seconds. And then all of a sudden, the back axle, the back wheels just pop about 5 to 6 feet up in the air.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, out of nowhere. We hit the box 3 days ago. 3 days ago, we hit the box. And if my Aunt Rita ever hears this episode, she's going to be like, wow, that's what happened?
That's what was wrong with that van.
So what happened was I look in the back, God. And everybody's looking out the back. They're like, there goes your tire. I thought, one of the four tires? It was the spare tire on the bottom.
From underneath.
It had been, that box had hit it so hard, it severed whatever cable was holding it on there, and it had jammed it into the axle. And so we were just burning rubber. We were just burning that. This is crazy.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Just popped off there, and thank goodness no one was behind me. I mean, this was dangerous. And I was like, what in the world? So we go hiking back there, and we grab this thing. And I had no idea. I thought it was a cardboard box that we hit. It wasn't. I thought maybe there was something metal in there. I heard a crunch when I hit it, and I was like, "Okay."
It flattened. Was it plywood or something like that?
It happened within 2 seconds. I could not tell you. And there was traffic everywhere. I was already sweating profusely, and trying not to maneuver so that way somebody with motion sickness wouldn't get sick.
And so it was just a whole thing.
Oh, man.
And sorry about that. I just derailed our whole conversation to tell that
story. It's all about traveling. I think you probably wished you would have had, like, Gandalf with you. Well, I don't know. Or
I wish I was, I wish I was probably in the back, not responsible for everything that happened and reading Lord of the Rings. That's where I thought I should be. But, I mean, crazy.
I mean, it sounds like a misadventure, like a side quest that would happen in one of these stories. Like, you know, you have the great box confrontation and
have you seen the movie? Have you seen the movie Onward with?
I love the movie.
Love that movie.
Guinevere. You were riding in Guinevere.
Imagine Guinevere. That's exactly what I had.
When Barley sacrifices Guinevere.
Oh, dude! It's
to help block the path.
Believable.
I mean, I cry multiple points in that movie.
Yeah,
but
it's so good.
That's a moment where when he smacks the back of it, yep. as he puts the rock on the accelerator, smacks its ass as it yep. as just
yep.
like and you know how much he loved that van.
Yeah.
That sure. movie, God, man, we should do a standalone episode on that movie. That it's movie such alone a good, is yeah. is
and it it's an adventure. That in that movie, they're yeah. going on this adventure and it feels yeah. very Hobbity, quest, Lord of the Rings like. Yeah. So, yeah, involves some travel. But anyway, I think to answer your question, now when I travel, I know for a fact that I'm taking long trips to Germany, 8-hour flights. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I can get the extended edition in, some of it.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
So I do download that prior to. It is downloaded, and I typically will watch it, although I found out it's on the plane. Every single one of those planes.
Right, yeah.
Like, you can just click on it. And everyone's watching it, by the way. Like most people are either watching that, just the classics. I mean, I don't really see a lot of people watch. Maybe some new movie that came out, but for the most part, you see a lot of people. You can see Lord of the Rings. I mean, I can't tell you how many flights I've been on where I've seen it on another aisle, or I'm going to the bathroom. There's Frodo. He's got the ring.
Dude, the staying power of the movies. I was talking to our buddy Jake Hodgson about that. Just like I don't know. Like Lord of the Rings has never. It's aged about as well as films can age.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never hit a point where you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, now with the advancements. And Viggo Mortensen talked about this in the appendices. He's like, you know, what we've created, some special effects or graphics might seem dated at some time, but because that isn't the focus of these movies, it will live on forever. Absolutely. And like, they're almost like prophetic words. And John Rhys Davies said that too. He made like 3 prophecies when they were filming. Oh God. He said something. I can't remember. I think I shared this video with you in a reel that I saw on Instagram. I'd never heard this quote from him, but one of them was Lord of the Rings is going to be as big as the original Star Wars. It will be unrivaled for like 20 years, or like 20 years later, people will look back and wonder how they made these movies. It's like amazing when you do stop and think about, you could be on a plane in 2023 watching one of the 3 films and be just as entertained as you were in the theaters in 2001, 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
It's just the applicability too, like that Tolkien tried to use in his writing, I think is there with the movies. I don't know. Like I still marvel at the performances too. Now there's also all this talk too. I think Peter Jackson and Philippa Boyens were somewhere recently at a Comic-Con, and he was talking about he's dropped little hints at this for years now about a 25th anniversary edition. Apparently there is 1,300 hours.
Whoa.
Of unused footage. Now, some of that would be like multiple takes of the same scene or whatever, but we know from trailers that were released, like there's a whole sequence of the Fellowship like fleeing into Lothlorien and battling Moria orcs that pursue them?
No, I did not know that.
Like when Aragorn says, by nightfall, these hills will be swarming with orcs. Well, they filmed sequences where one of the famous scenes is like it was used in the Fellowship trailer. Like Legolas, it's where he like looks right at the camera, draws his bow, and he's in the woods, and he fires an arrow right at the screen. They did this whole battle sequence with the Moria orcs. So there's all these different scenes, and Peter Jackson's like, yeah, they're the negatives of the film are in a mountain in Arizona somewhere.
Wow.
Like, apparently Warner Brothers has this vault that would survive nuclear fallout or something, so that if civilization was ever destroyed, that someday remnants could find, or whoever was left over.
Right, the greatest.
Could have Lord of the Rings. Yeah, so, yeah. Right, yeah. They'd be, like, holding up to the sun, like, oh, what is movie?
Man.
But,
real quickly, though, yeah. I think that's actually really interesting that they said that the focus is not on special effects, because something that George Lucas did with what I think is probably, whether it's one or two, greatest trilogies of all time in terms of film, is he was focused on creating all the special effects, like pioneering the special effects, you know, 30 years prior or whatever, to allow people to do those things. And the focus was, it was still mythology and storytelling there, but more of the focus was like, we're going to do this in a way no one's ever done it. And it was more of the technical. It's what, I mean, Lucasfilm is... Yeah, it's what it's founded on. I mean, it's founded on the special effects and Skywalker sound and all that kind of stuff, which is cool. And you told me about the connection, yeah.
Yeah, there's a huge kinship between them, because like when they were developing, I think right after they got either when Miramax was backing it or right after New Line accepted, they went out to Skywalker Ranch. Like Peter Jackson and a few of the creatives went out and they said George Lucas was the most generous, helpful advisor, and they said, they were like, you know, how would you handle like this from Lord of the Rings, or like say you need to show some sort of
thing or effect or
this way, what would you do? And he was so gracious, according to Peter Jackson, that they really when I think about Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, even though they're two totally different things, like I almost think of them as like a continuation of epic storytelling. I almost see them as linked as anything. As anything else, because
in the film industry.
Yeah,
I mean, really, they're standards. Like certain standards, were, like the bar is moved when those things were made.
Absolutely, and so. You couldn't have had Lord of the Rings without Star Wars.
Yeah,
there's no way. In the same way, you couldn't have had Star Wars without something greater that came before.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if there was a trilogy. I don't think there was a trilogy before Star Wars that you could look at and be like, maybe the Godfather series or something. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It really kind of set the tone for like making three movies.
Right.
I mean, making a trilogy came kind of from Star Wars, I think, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just the fact that like I think though what I think there is this bit with Lord of the Rings that makes it kind of timeless, because they didn't spend a whole lot of the focus on that. They're lifted up because of the work that's been done before them. They can do a lot of different things with Helm's Deep, and they can go crazy with all the animations or things that they wanted to do with like the King of the Dead and stuff like that, right? It's not focused on that though. Its focus is on story and on the hero journey and all
characters.
Mythology and Tolkien's world. So that's
the most memorable. The most memorable scenes from all those movies to me are the ones that are tight shots.
Yeah.
It's interactions between characters. It's Sam and Frodo. Their interactions at the Grey Havens.
Yeah.
It's Aragorn and Boromir at the departure of Boromir. It's all those back and forths, the tight shots. Anyway. So you could watch it on a plane. People still do. People will pick that over like new
they
movies
will.
Coming out. Have you seen that viral clip of when the soccer World Cup was going on? I think is it the Women's World Cup that just recently happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
The people were watching it on the plane, and it was someone in the very back looking at all these screens cheering for whatever was happening on the World Cup, and there was one solitary screen right in the middle of someone watching Lord of the Rings.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then people were like, that person is my spirit animal. Like, that's me
in
that situation. So, that's amazing. it's incredible. So, okay. So,
for you.
So when you go on the long flights to Germany, you're watching.
I'm watching. Most of the time. Yep.
So I think for me, most of the time when I travel, I definitely have watched the movies, mostly in snippets. But I think even more so than watching the movies, I will put on the soundtrack.
Okay.
I will... Yeah. Just let, especially the Fellowship soundtrack is one of my favorites. Although I do love the Two Towers. There's aspects of the Hobbit soundtrack that I really love. So I will put those on and just kind of let it set the mood and the atmosphere of whatever I'm doing, especially when I think back on trips, like especially when I went to New Zealand, I was definitely listening to the soundtracks and just imagining where I was, especially the first time, like imagining what this adventure was going to be like when I would get to travel to see the places that I had watched in these movies for so long, like what it would feel like. And that's the amazing thing about those soundtracks. They can be so moving and so compelling. So most of the soundtracks, I don't know, like recently when I travel, a lot of times when we travel, I'm like driving the van, you know what I mean? So it's and the girls want to listen to something, you know, they get kind of like first dibs on what music we're listening to. Yeah. And then after a while, Sarah and I, like, let's play something else. And so it's not the same as it used to be. Traveling, but yeah. When we, after Vigo's surgery, his heart surgery, and then the way he recovered, his recovery took longer, and that's when we had that big long stay in the hospital, and it changed our whole lives. Vigo almost died like so many times. You know, it was a wild experience. Not one I would ever change.
Yeah.
It's so weird to say that, and I think a lot of people might take that the wrong way or not understand that, but I would never change like how our lives have unfolded.
Right.
Like would I absolutely trade places with my son? Yes. And I've asked for that.
Oh yeah.
Gotten silence in response. But like if that is not able to happen, then and like the joy that Vigo has for life.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't look back on anything in the past and think, well, I would definitely change that. Dude, because then where you are now would be a different place.
Dude, I just on Friday, that was one of the best times I'd had with Vigo. Just laying there, man. Dude. Just like, we were chilling.
He's in such a...
He was my bud. We were just having a good time.
He is, man. I tell you what, like, when people actually do take time to spend time with him, and not everyone does. Like, you know, it's not everyone is comfortable with people who are different. And that's whatever. That's their deal.
It's on them.
But like, you know, I'm blown away. Like, I say it all the time. I've told you all the time. Like, we have three of the happiest girls in the world, and Vigo puts them all to shame. I mean, he is the... And you said it. You like moved me to tears when you guys were here Friday, because you were like, you look into his eyes and you can tell that he's an old soul.
Oh man, absolutely.
And you know that, like, there is so much depth in his eyes, right?
Yep.
So, all that to say, my son's amazing. I love him. He's my hero.
Yep.
When we were in the hospital and his recovery was taking longer than, you know, we had planned on, that we were told it would, and we realized there might be some other things going on, there was a moment where Sarah's like, you know, we're going to be here longer, Lane, than we realize. And I was kind of in denial. I'm like, no. Yes, it's not a big deal. A couple of days, we'll figure it out. We'll be home. Everything will be fine.
Right.
Or, you know, not back to how we thought it was going to be, to normal, quote unquote. And Sarah was like, you know, we're going to need stuff. Yeah. We're going to need more than just a weekend bag. And so I was like, okay, I'll go home. I was like, what, you know, other than clothes or whatever, what do you need? And she was like, well, grab this, grab that. And then she said, grab my Bible. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I came home and I'm kind of like in this frenzy. I'm processing, like, you know, it's like, how long are we going to be away from home? How are we going to, like, how are we going to explain this to our girls? Like, how do we navigate this? And I had no idea, dude. I had no clue. And I felt I wasn't on a trip, but I felt like I was on a trip.
Oh, man.
Does that make any sense?
Like a journey. Absolutely.
I felt it was absolutely the greatest journey I had ever been on. And I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So my wife had asked for her Bible, right? So I went and I grabbed her Bible. And I'm like kind of in a frenzy. I'm looking around. I'm like, I need a book. What's my book?
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was right on my bedside. It's always close to my bedside, but it's that original... like movie tie-in 3-in-1 that I had got after I saw the movies. We went to Barnes & Noble. My dad bought it and The Hobbit for us to read through. It's the very first one I've ever read. You know, I was reading through as the films were coming out as a teenager. And without even hesitation, I picked that bad boy right up.
Yep.
I took it with me, and you know, we were there for 3 months between two different floors. We were on the heart floor, and then we moved up to the eighth floor, which was pulmonary floor.
Yeah.
And between those, that time there, we had gotten, I decided to read DeVigo. I was like, I'm gonna read to him, because if something happens and he doesn't ever get to come home, I want him to know these stories.
Yeah.
You know? And so that whole time there, I mean, like, daily. And even if a lot of times it would just put him to sleep because he was so small.
Yeah.
But also, maybe there was some, I was like, maybe this is kind of comforting. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's just, and then it was funny. I started to think, I'm like, maybe this is, even as much as I want it to be for him, maybe this is like for me.
Yeah.
Maybe this is my way of processing. And there, I tell you what, dude, I mean, I told you about how crazy it was. There were so many moments where I read, like, for instance, after, God, never would have noticed this moment before. I guarantee I didn't bring it up on our reread, but after Frodo is stabbed on Weathertop, there's a moment where Sam is talking to Strider, and he just kind of pleads with him. He's like, what's wrong with my master? You know, his mm-hmm. wound appears to be healing, but he's not getting any better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think he pretty much, I can't remember, I'm paraphrasing, but he like asks, like, is he going to die?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Aragorn says, Strider says, I don't know.
Yep.
Yep. I don't know. But he provides some sort of like hope. And I remember thinking, like, jeezy cow, like, I'm sitting here with my son whose wound was fixed.
Yeah.
Right. The hole in his heart, everything appears to be mended. Yet he's not getting better.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, I think we made it all the way to the Council of Elrond. And like, since we've been home, I haven't read it as much. So I would say that's the greatest journey, adventure, trip I've ever been on, that without having that story, the book, like the actual physical book, I don't think I wouldn't have made it through as well. Like, there's no way. There's no way I would have had like some kind of serious breakdown if it weren't for those stories. Yeah. So
I remember you messaging me and like some of the quotes or the lines that you would find from it, and you didn't even have to say. You don't have to put any. I knew the context that you were in. I knew where you were at and everything. And then you would send some of those, and I was like, wow, because through the lens that you were kind of reading that, I knew where you were a little bit, and I was sort of like, wow, you're right. Even as you said that about Weathertop there, I think anybody listening would go, okay, lens, perspective, context. Yeah. You know, it's like interesting.
Yeah,
it
like hit me with a new wave too, where I was like, you know, because I thought about Sarah and I, and I realized like we talked a lot, and we're like, no one's gonna understand us now. Like, we the only people who will be under like able to fully understand each other is each other. Like, you know, like Sarah and I. So I kind of felt like I sort of feel like we are Frodo and Sam.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I think that they and then you go to Frodo and like he's never able to come back all the way.
Yeah.
Never all the way. He has wounds that can't be healed. You know, Sam comes back, but I would even argue that he is so greatly changed that, I don't know, in the long run, he decides to go to Tol El Rissea himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, he sails west himself.
You know,
so.
Okay. Yeah.
But like, and I started thinking about these stories, and I was like, you know what? Like, we watch these stories with the context of knowing that everything, like, evil is defeated.
Yeah.
But I tried to put myself in those moments because it's where I felt like we were as a family. I was like, there are so many moments where if you plop down into Middle Earth in that moment, you think, well, we're screwed. Mm-hmm. There is no way. There is no hope. There's no help coming from anywhere else. We are all going to be destroyed and die. And this is literally worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And I thought about how, you know, you think about Sam, when Sam almost decides, the tip of this blade looks pretty good.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, here I am. The stars are veiled, but then he sees that light. Hope is reignited, and he decides not to see it through.
Right.
And I don't know, like, these are fantasy stories, but that is something that is so relatable to all of us. So,
yeah.
Well, it's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. And I think I go back to the author, and you think about, like, what he was conveying. And
where he was.
Where he was. And
life experiences and real things he dealt with in a time and age that were like, I think it would blow a lot of people's minds just even. Yeah, like just to, to think about that and experience and that. It's like, what?
Dude.
I mean.
And all the death that he, you know, he like had a reputation of not liking to put like a theme to his stories. Like he didn't want to say what it was about. But when he was pushed, he said like, Lord of the Rings, death. It's about death.
Yeah. Imagine, loss, I mean, he was in the trenches. And it was surrounded by I mean, it's just
you go to World War One, you go to fight in the trenches, you and your three friends, and you come back home and half of them are gone.
Yeah.
You know, like you lose your dad by the time you're two. You never know, he never really knew his father.
Yeah.
And then like his mom, he loses his mom.
Yeah.
Right? He just constantly lost people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just fell away. And so you can't, I don't know. Like, and I think to myself, like that was the thing that we were kind of faced with was, you know, like, yeah, just like the very real possibility of losing your son. It's like that, it's a dark place to be in. And, anyway, I did feel comfort, honestly, knowing that there are others, like invented characters, but also real people who have found ways through that. Yeah, I don't know. It just gave me a lot of hope. Well, it gave me hope where I didn't know where to find any else.
I just want to put this in here because we'll do it here in a second. Where it'd be the next episode we kind of hit, which is Moments of Middle Earth. And I'm not going to change a daggone thing about what I have. It's going to blow your mind a little bit, actually.
Dude, so, I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll get
so
there.
So, yes. But. That was the best trip I've ever taken with Lord of the Rings. But Eddie, this was an incredible question. I did not mean to get that.
We were all
to go that deep, or for us to meander like we did. But again, like these are great because they just give us such good opportunities to like focus in on a discussion point, but also see where it takes us. Where that's what the Night Breeze is all about, man.
Yeah,
you go out on the front stoop or in the backyard. You the Night Breeze changes too. You know, sometimes it smells like flowers. Other times it smells like, you know, fire, smoke. Sometimes it smells like a nice drink.
Yep.
It changes.
It
sometimes
does.
It smells like it rain, you know? So,
love it.
Yeah. Eddie, can't thank you enough. Thank you for that wonderful question. You are not alone. Turns out this is not something that is exclusive just to you. I mean, like, overwhelmingly, most people, 9 out of 10 people travel with Lord of the Rings in some shape or form. So, yes. Sir.
Yeah, I would even say that people who weren't like diehard Lord of the Rings fans, like I would see them experiencing it for the first time. Hey, we're going on a long flight. Let's watch it. I mean,
because you got nothing else to do, man.
Right.
I mean,
so I
feel
it's like
a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, it's a nice little travel companion, and it can, you know, for those.
Anyway. All right. Well, hey, it was nice sniffing the Night Breeze with everybody. Thanks for taking it in with us, friends. We'll see you next time. And remember, don't stop sniffing.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.